Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today. While we're here at Hawk Ranch, things will not be the way that we are accustomed to. That's just the reality of the world that we're living in right now. We're following trying the best of our ability, follow the CDC guidelines and the Riverside County guidelines and Joe Schmoes across the streets guidelines. That we got all these weird things that we have to do, and we're trying to do our best, do what's right here. But we gather together. So we're living in strange times, right? Anybody recognize we're living in strange times? And church services are going to be a little strange for a while, too. So, I'm just telling you, be okay with that. Just be ready for that. But I don't know about you. I'm okay with it being a little strange as long as we're being together while we do it. Anybody else? But I'm so ready for that. So go to ccfe.life, check out that post. It needs to be updated. Even as we went through some things this morning, I realized it needs to be updated, so go do that. So these are strange times. They're not unprecedented times. 100 years ago, the H1N1 virus infected about a third of the world's population, and 50 million people died. That's a lot. Somebody say that's a lot. 675,000 in the U.S. alone. That is huge. Now, thankfully, coronavirus is not rising up to those proportions. 100 years ago, there wasn't a cure, and treatment options were limited. Back then, the biggest worry that people had was catching and dying from the virus. That's what everybody was concerned about because it was happening all around them. Very few people actually knew somebody that hadn't died from the virus. Most of us, we might have to get out several layers before we actually know of someone who has died from COVID-19. Now, nobody wants to catch it, and the reality is, and if you're in one of those high-risk situations, you're probably not worried about dying right now. That's probably not at the forefront of your mind, catching COVID-19 and dying. It's more likely that you're dealing with other worries today. You're dealing with other things, and many of them are related to COVID-19, but you're not worried about dying from COVID-19. Things like, what happens if my company doesn't open back up again after this is over? How do I cope with my kids being home and trying to school them? I know a couple of you are trying to do that. How am I going to pay my bills? Some people are struggling with paying their bills. How long is all of this going to last? Now, we're starting to see signs that, maybe things will be loosening up, but they'll never be the same after this. Can my relationship with my spouse survive this? How do I deal with the loneliness that this has caused? How do I take care of my elderly parent? How do I deal with the depression that I or my spouse or my child or someone else that I'm close to is dealing with because of this? COVID-19 has disrupted most of life. We can't get away from that. And people are worried about either what is happening or what will happen in the future. People are worried. And I'm guessing that maybe some of you are worried about some of those things that I mentioned or something that I haven't mentioned yet. There are a lot of things. And if you're here and you're watching this, I know that there are things that you can be worried about, that you might be worried about. right now, life seems to be filled with strange things that we can be worried about. In reality, there is always something in life that we can be worried about. In this world and in this life, there will be things like COVID-19. There will be things that we can disrupt us, that might disrupt us. John 16:33, Jesus told us that. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus also taught us in Matthew, in chapter 6, verse 13, he says, Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. As long as we're in this world and in this flesh, there are going to be things that we can worry about. That's just the reality of life. But as we grow in our faith, as we become more like Christ, then we can recognize there is a reality that we can worry less. And I believe it's possible for all of us. Even in strange times like these, it is possible to worry less. Let's pray, and then we'll get into today's text. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, for this place, this beautiful place that you've provided for us. We thank you for the Cunoffs and their blessing us with this place today and next week and forever, however long it takes. We thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much, that you give to us all that we need, all the things that we need for life and godliness. And we praise you for your abundance and for your glory and for your grace and mercy and hope, your truth, Lord, that you give us in your word. And Lord, while the world around us gives us lots of things to worry about, Lord, you've given us things to help us to worry less. And so I pray, Lord, as we get into this text, Lord, that those that do have these cares and concerns and worries, that as we'll see today, that you would have us to lay those down. And I pray, Lord, even now that you begin preparing our hearts to receive that word from you, that we might do that very thing. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you for the blessing of being here in this place right now. We ask, Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear what you would say to your church. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. I got to tell you, you know, I am so thankful to be standing here right now. I so appreciate the technology allowed me to, for the last 2 months, to stream the services from my office at my house. But, you know, I miss looking at people, seeing people, even those ones over there. You know, I love the fact that I get to, you know, people looking back at me, and, you know, some of them are smiling, some of them are grimacing. That's okay. That's okay. That all works out for me. I like that. Man, I'm thankful to be here. 1 Peter chapter 5. Jesus said in Matthew, do not worry. Do not worry. And my understanding of how God works is when he tells us not to do something, there's a reason. Because it's not good for us. Did you know it's not good to worry? Anybody? Somebody say, I knew that already. I'm doing it anyways, but I know it's not good for me. It's not good for us. You know what else? When God says not to do something, guess what we are able to do? Well, what we're able not to do. We're able not to do that thing he tells us not to do. Did you know that? But wait a minute. You don't understand my life, Pastor. You don't understand my circumstances, Pastor. You don't know what's going on. No, what I do know is what God said. God said, do not worry. And when God says something, then we are fully capable of doing it. So we understand something. Worry is not something we have to do. It's natural. And just about everybody but Pastor Randy does it. It comes to us. It just, our flesh wants to. But God's word says we don't have to. And I wish I was a good enough preacher to give you a 3-point message that when you left this place, you would never worry about a thing ever again. Okay? Maybe that guy will show up next week. But whatever it is, right now, I'm going to try to give you some points that as of just even this moment, you might worry less. But I believe it's a process of us growing in our faith, that these things that God tells us to do or not to do, it is for our benefit, for His glory. And if we'll do it, if we'll make the choice of doing or not doing what God says, then we are going to do or not do those things. And I believe it is a matter of choice. It's an issue of faith and obedience. The Holy Spirit will enable us to obey God. You know that, right? He wants to. He's waiting to. He's just waiting for you to choose that path. So my goal this morning is to share some practical things so that you might worry less as we live in these strange times, as we go through this difficult, weird situation, that we would worry less. One of the things that this quarantine has made abundantly clear, at least to me, was, I already knew it anyways, but it's made it even more clear, is how much we need each other. You know, when you go through, when you're in ministry for a long time, and I'm actually getting to that point where I can actually say that, when you're in ministry for a long time, you know, there's some of the things we do, we start kind of getting the rhythms and patterns and whatnot, and you start taking things for granted, right? It's almost in anything in life. You do it long enough, you start taking that stuff for granted. Well, for the last 2 months, we haven't been able to do what we were taking for granted. And all of a sudden, I'm not realizing, but it just imprinted on me so much more clearly now how much we need each other, how much these relationships that we've developed and nurtured over the years, how important they are to us, how much of value they add to their lives. Now, we've done our part to try to keep those things going, but it's not the same when we can't be together. And the longer people are separated from one another, the more they are struggling in all areas of their lives. And we see this all throughout our society, for one thing, but also even within the church. Even for people that are trying to stay connected, it's still a struggle. We need this. In this text in Peter that we're going to look at, 1 Peter 5, we're going to look at 3 categories of relationships that relate to the community of God, the Christian community of God, that believers ought to be living in. And if we're doing it right, if we're living in these relationships the way that God intends us to, one of the natural byproducts of that, and it's just a natural byproduct, you won't even be thinking about it, but as you just live in these relationships the way God intends, you will worry less. And you'll find other areas of your spiritual life, your faith, growing as well. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. So the very first relationship that Peter talks about here in this text is spiritual leadership. The first relationship is spiritual leadership. Now Peter is speaking to younger people, and the idea there, younger people and submitting to elders, the idea is literally younger people, people that are younger than the elders. That's the literal interpretation of that, but the inferred interpretation of that also includes those that are spiritually younger than the elder. So there's this reality that we need people in our lives that are spiritually more mature than we are, especially in those times where we're struggling in our faith and we find ourselves worrying about the strange times that we're living in. We're worrying about something. We need someone in our life that we can go to help them. And I'm going to tell you, as an elder, because that's one of my roles, and we have a number of them in church, as an elder, it grieves my heart to know that there are people in the church that will not ask for help. I don't understand it. God has equipped the church with elders for the purpose of helping the body through the difficult times that we're going through. And yet they won't ask. They won't come. They will not submit themselves to the elders for help. I don't consider myself smart. I don't consider myself wise. I consider myself a man of God who's been indwelt by the Spirit of God for the purpose of ministering to the body of Christ. And I'm not the only one. I'm looking at four or five others in the church right here, right now, that God is equipped for that very purpose. And personally, I am thankful that I have men in my life that when my life gets a little strange, I'm picking up the phone. Hey, my life is strange right now. Talk to me. Talk me down off the roof. Paul tells his readers, submit yourselves. It's a choice. And I've had people tell me, Pastor, why didn't you call me? For what? I was going through a tough time. Why didn't you call me? Dude, I don't know about your phone. Mine goes both ways. Why didn't you call me? You should have known, Pastor. I might have known. Maybe I did know. But you know what? Maybe God told me to wait till you called me. Because I'll tell you what, I've made some of those phone calls. I know somebody's struggling with something. And they'll ask, why are you calling me? Why are you that's none your business. Yeah. You need to read 1 Peter 5. It is my business. God made it my business. And I care. I care about the people. And I know that the men and the elders in this church and the elders' wives and everybody in this room cares. They care. That's why they're sitting here right now. They care. Submit yourselves. And that literally means to put yourself under the authority of a spiritual leader, to make that choice. And you know, that's one of the things that I've observed recently. That's missing from many churches. That idea that there is a spiritual authority, that there is an authority structure within the church, that's missing from most of the evangelical church, and it's a problem. If you want to worry less, you need to have relationships in your life where you have submitted yourself to a spiritual authority. And if you're worrying and you haven't done that, that's on you. That's not on you. That's not on the elders. That's not on the pastors. It's not on anyone but you, and you need to recognize that. It's a choice you have to make. Submit yourselves. Choose to be under that authority. Within this category of spiritual authority, there are three types of spiritual leadership. First one is regular supplements. I don't know where this illustration came from. It just popped into my head. You know, we take supplements or vitamins because our regular diet is lacking the things our body needs to be healthy, right? That's why we take vitamin C and vitamin E and vitamin W or whatever they might be. The same thing is true spiritually. Spiritually, your regular diet, Kelly, would you hand me my water, please? Our regular diet, thank you, ought to be prayer. Right? Ought to be reading our Bible. Ought to be, and there's a number of other spiritual disciplines, ought to be a regular part of our diet. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, this quarantine has not been good for my regular diet, in my physical diet. You know, been, you know, not eating healthy, not following a plan, been good for my spiritual diet. That's actually been pretty good, but, you know, the reality is that without those regular things, if your regular diet is not good, vitamins aren't going to help you that much. So it starts, we've got to have a regular diet, spiritual diet of prayer, of reading our Bible, doing those things. We do those things, but that's not enough. Same thing is true of our regular physical diet. It's not enough. We take vitamins because The food that we eat does not supply us everything that we need. So spiritual supplements, regular spiritual supplements, are things like sitting under a Bible teacher, attending a weekly Bible study, doing those things that add something that we're not getting ourselves from our regular, the things that we can't do ourselves, we get from them. And just like vitamins, the more consistent you are with taking them, the better they work. You know, showing up at church once a month is not as good as showing up four times a month, or five, hopefully. This month would have been five if we could have actually showed up to church. Next week, May 31st. The better you take them, the more you take them, the better they work. The second type of spiritual leadership we need is pain relief. When I have a headache, I take ibuprofen. When we experience a point of pain in our life, and we're unable to relieve the pain ourselves, and now that's where some of our worry comes from. Something comes into our lives, some thing, some issue, some problem shows up in our lives, and we can't fix it. We can't solve the problem ourselves. A spiritual leader can help us. That's the purpose of counseling. You know, when you have a spiritual problem you can't solve on your own, God's provided spiritual leadership so that you can ask someone else for help. It's a temporary kind of a relationship, and its purpose is to relieve that point of pain, or at least to put it on a pathway for relieving that pain. You know, if there's pain in your marriage, if there's worry in your marriage, if there's a struggle in your marriage and you can't solve it yourself after 12 years, then, you know, it was a joke, then maybe you ought to ask for help. Humble yourself. Submit yourself to your elders. Let someone help. The third type of spiritual leader we need is corrective medicine. There are times when vitamins and pain relievers are not enough. If you go to the doctor and you get a diagnosis of diabetes, just for an example, you know, that's just not going to go away. Though if you change your diet, it might help, but it might not just go away. Some people are physically predisposed to it. By the grace of God, I'm not currently taking any medications, but I know lots of people that do. And I know that if they stopped taking those medications or they weren't taking those medications, that they would have serious health problems. It would affect them. It would harm their lives, maybe to the point of even them dying if they weren't taking their medications. When you go to the doctor and he diagnoses you with something like diabetes, he or she will then prescribe a medication that you take to relieve those symptoms or to correct that situation and to minimize the risk of the physical impact of the diabetes. And spiritually, this is where discipleship comes in. We have things in our life that come into our life where we need something to correct either a wrong understanding or a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge, a lack of truth. And so we need somebody to help us, to guide us in that pathway. That's why the men's ministry exists. That's why the women's ministry exists, to teach men how to be men, spiritual men, men of God, women of God. All these things that we do are for those purposes of growing in our faith. And discipleship, it's a term that we use for a spiritual leader helping someone or a group of someones to become more like Christ through regular Bible-based conversations. That's what discipleship is. It's not about, you know, making everybody the same little Christian robots. It's about helping us to be like Christ. And we do it through these regular Bible-based conversations. Now, you might be familiar with terms like mentoring or life coaching. You know, those are similar terms. The difference being that this focuses on the spiritual realities that impact our lives, thoughts, behaviors, and relationships. If you willingly put yourself under the authority of a spiritual leader in these areas, I promise you, you will worry less. You find that whatever it is that's going on in your life, and typically it starts at the very beginning. We've got to start in allowing the Spirit of God to move us into relationships. That's why this is so important, because it's really hard to establish these kinds of relationships if we aren't in close proximity to one another. As we come together, we start connecting ourselves to these people. We start to get to know the spiritual leaders. And when we get to know the spiritual leaders, we can start developing that relationship that then tells us, okay, what do I need here? Do I need a regular supplement? Do I need pain relief? Do I need corrective medicine? And we can exercise those practices that we need, but it's a choice that we have to make. And if you don't connect yourself, if you don't engage with the spiritual leaders that God has put around you, then that's not available to you. You know, the need for leadership is so important. You know, a leader helps us to walk through the darkness. And this world we live in is strange. You know, if we're Christians, this is a strange world that we're living in. And we need somebody to help us. And a spiritual leader is one of the relationships that we need so that we can do that. And a pastor, the idea, knowing that there are people that are choosing to walk through the darkness on their own. I got to tell you, it grieves my heart. And as the pastor, and I know I can speak for several other leaders in the church too, we know who they are. We know those people that are choosing to not submit themselves to a spiritual leader and are choosing to walk in darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now, Jesus was talking about a time when the people that were supposed to be the spiritual leaders were following the wrong path. But as a pastor here, I recognize there are people that are choosing to be scattered and weary. And that grieves my heart to know that. You won't submit to a spiritual authority. And that makes me sad, because worry is one of the byproducts of that. That they are worried about, they're afraid of, they're angry about whatever emotion they're feeling, and very often because they will not take advantage of the very things that God has given to them so that they can have a different kind of a life. The first type of relationship we need to worry less during strange times is spiritual leadership. We need spiritual leaders. And we need them to be men and women of God. So we'll pray for our spiritual leaders that they would be that. The second type of relationship we need is found in the second half of verse 5, and that is Christian community. Verse 5 continuing, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The fact is, the more isolated we become, the more isolated we are from the Christian community, the more we are going to worry, the more these negative emotions are going to rise up, and the more fear there's going to be, the more depression, the more whatever one that we're wrestling with very often is because we're separated from Christian community. Now, we've been forced into that recently, not totally, because we do have ways of getting around it, but the reality is there's some people who are choosing to be separated from Christian community, and the consequences are terrible. The writer of the Hebrews exhorted us in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We all know the saying, out of sight, out of mind. And that is absolutely true when it comes to the Christian faith as well. It's much more challenging to stir up love and good works when we aren't around one another. It's harder. I participate in a number of Zoom meetings throughout the week. but it's just not the same as being here. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed being just in the few little experiences that we've had in the last 2 weeks. Man, so much better. And this morning was off the hook so far. It's not the same. Social media could have a place if it was done correctly. Texts and emails, they lack the nuances of personal interaction. They're too sterile. They're too hard to interpret. Phone calls and video calls are better, but nothing substitutes for face-to-face interaction, face-to-face community. God created us to live that way, to exist that way. And here's the thing. Christian community doesn't happen by accident. It has to be a choice that we make. Now, we do what we can. We do what we can to organize and coordinate. But ultimately, for there to be Christian community, the people in the community have to choose to be in the community, to invest in, to interact with, to be a part of that community. And to the degree to which you do that will be the degree of which you experience the benefits of that. And we have to be deliberate about it. And we have to be willing to initiate Christian community. Too often we're waiting for somebody to invite us. We're waiting for somebody to say, hey, come be a part of our thing. Don't wait. You know why? Because you need that community. You desperately need that community. And you know what? They need you in the community.
Oh, I'm too shy, Pastor.
No, don't wait for them. You might need it more than they do. And if you do, you've got to be a part of what's going on. You need them, and God has probably put you in that place either to receive what that community is offering or to add to that community something he's given you for it. Probably both of those things. Real, life-giving Christian community will help you to worry less. That's just the reality. The more we're connected, we found ourselves some spiritual leaders that we're willing to submit ourselves under, and we're connecting ourselves in Christian community, you will worry less. And one of the great ways to develop that Christian community, one of the best ways that I've found in my 20-plus years as a Christian is in service. When I connect myself in service in the church or outside of the church, that Christian community develops so much faster and becomes more life-giving than anything else that I can do. If I will just give myself in service in some way, I promise you, Christian community will follow, and if you're in Christian community, it will lead you to worry less. And we're in a weird time right now. We're in a strange time, but I promise you, you can find a way to do that safely. We're doing it. We're practicing, you know, as being as safe as we can. You know, we're all spread out, you know, big old gaps in between. You know, it's kind of weird, but it's better than just looking at my face on the screen, you know, sitting in my office. You can do it, but you have to choose to do it. The third type of relationship that will help us to worry less is divine leadership, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, someone might be thinking, well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I have this one covered. God is my leader. Really? Should have noticed something. It says there, Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Just being a Christian doesn't automatically make you humbled under the mighty hand of God. This is a calling for a deliberate act of the will, for us making a choice to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. And not just humbling ourselves, but then choosing to cast our cares upon Him. There are a countless number of reasons why people worry. I mean, we could spend days, everybody, you know, putting their 2 cents in. We could get you chatting on YouTube, telling all the reasons why you worry, all the different things that cause worry in this life. I want you to hear something. God has an answer for every one of those reasons. More than that, God is the answer for every one of those reasons why we worry. For example, we worry because we don't know what the future is going to bring. We live in a time where, you know, we're talking about this. The elders are talking about, the rules are changing daily. We could be freaking out about that. We're not. We could be. Oh no, what's it going to be tomorrow? Because tomorrow's a big day. Gavin Newsom. Sorry, didn't mean to butcher your name. That was not on purpose. In case you're watching, God bless you. He's not. I know that. Oh no. I will not get sucked into conspiracy theories right now. Okay. Supposedly, he's going to make an announcement tomorrow about his plan to reopen churches. Okay, we could be freaking out right now. What does that mean? What's it going to look like? Frankly, I'm not worried about that. I'm going to do what God told me to do. That's what we're doing right now. That's what we'll do tomorrow, too. We don't know what the future is going to bring. But here's what we do know. We do know the God that is already in the future. God exists in the eternal now. For God, all of time, past, present, and future, is now. Don't ask me to explain that. That's a God thing way beyond my pay grade. But the reality is He exists in the now. He exists. He's already in the future I'm worrying about. He's already there. And you know what? He's handling it. Isaiah 46:10 says this, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I, the Lord speaking, will do all my pleasure. I am going to do what I want to do throughout all of time. And when I'm worrying about the future, I'm worrying about something God has already got a plan for. He's already got a solution for. And very often, we're worrying about a future that's never going to happen. You ever notice that? Yeah, I'm worried about this going to happen, that's going to happen, and then we get to that point in time and it's not there. It doesn't happen that way. God is already there in the future that we're worrying about. He already has a plan to work out those things for our good and for His glory. For others, it's an issue of control. Whatever's going on in their lives is out of their control. And gosh, there's a lot of that going on in the world right now, right? I mean, we don't have control of what's going on around us. Lots of situations, being laid off or fired from a job because of, the pandemic closing your company or whatever. Or, a more common one, we see it whether we're in a pandemic or not, family or friends or someone is making poor choices and we're experiencing the consequence of the poor choices or we're expecting them to make poor choices. And it goes on and on, all these things that we're worried about. We're out of control. We have no control over the circumstances. Listen, imagining even for a second that you are in control at all is an illusion. Do you know why you're afraid of being in control of not being, of being out of control? Because you're not in control. You never were. You never will be. Imagining that you are in control is like a mirage. You know what a mirage is, right? You get out into like a desert area, and you look out there, and it looks like there's water out there, right? I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's kind of an interesting experience. If you go to try to find that water, what happens? Nothing. It doesn't matter how far you go. Doesn't matter how fast you go. Doesn't matter what you do. You will not find water there because it doesn't exist. It's the same thing with imagining that you're in control. You are not in control. It's an illusion. But God is always in control. Has always been in control, will always be in control. What you are trying to control, He is controlling. And so when we're worrying about being out of control, we are imagining in our minds that we can control what only God can control. And it will never give you peace. You'll always be in a state of unrest if you imagine any amount of control. God is in control. And you know what? He's doing it perfectly. Even when it doesn't seem that way to you. Anybody? Anybody ever experienced that? Okay, you know, God, whatever you're doing, I don't think I like it very much. I'm raising my hand because I've been there. But is God in control? Yep. Is He doing it perfectly? Yep. Is what He's doing good? Yep. Ooh, that's a hard one, huh? Is what He's doing right? Yep. When you come to those times when you find yourself worrying about being out of control, not being able to control your circumstances, you need to take it to God. That's what Peter's telling us here. We need to bring those things to God. Whatever your worry is, you need to bring it to God. Remind yourself of His mighty hand. Remind yourself about who God is. Who is God? What is the reality of God as it relates to this situation and circumstance? And admit to Him that you are worrying. Confess it, saying, God, I'm worried about this. Maybe I'm afraid of a future that might come that you're already in, or I'm feeling out of control in a situation that I know that you're in control of. Confess that to Him. Tell him that you are doing that. Then ask Him to exercise His divine power, His mighty hand. Ask Him to apply His mighty hand to whatever that thing is that you're worried about. And then you lay it down at the foot of the cross. And then you lean back into the arms of your loving Heavenly Father and trust Him. Trust Him. You should have noticed a recurring theme in these three types of relationships. It's a call to submit or humble yourself. Too often when we're worrying, it's because we are on the throne. We are trying to be our authority. Something I learned early in my faith was that the more I surrendered myself to God's will, the easier life became. Not that life was easier, because sometimes life got harder in some of the circumstances. But they just didn't rattle me. Those things that came didn't rattle me the way they had before. As I humble myself and allow the will of God to play out in my life the way He chose it to, and to trust Him, to lean back into Him, to cast my cares upon Him, as I learn to do that little by little, I'm not mastered it yet. I'm still working on it. But as I do it, those things don't rattle me. They don't affect me the same way that they used to. The Apostle Paul, we know, I mean, did he experience some strange things in his life? Yeah. Things that he could have worried about, things that could have rattled him, things that could have messed him up. He was accustomed to difficult things. In Acts chapter 20, he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to go to Jerusalem and believes that's God's will for his life to go to Jerusalem. He keeps being told, when you get there, bad things are going to happen, including you're going to be chained and sent to prison. It might even cost you your life. Paul said, okay, I'm still going because God told me to. Now, he could have been worried about that, right? I mean, he could have been freaked out about that, you know, just all shaky and you know, whiny and cryy. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it says this, but none of these things move me. They don't move me. I've got a path. I've got a course that God set for my life. I'm going. I'm going to do it. He says, nor do I count my life dear to myself. I'm not measuring what it's going to cost me. I'm not measuring how hard it's going to be. I'm not measuring how painful it's going to be. I don't count my life dear to myself. So that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I've got a mission. I've got a plan. God's given me a mission, a plan. I am going where his will is guiding me. And all this stuff, all the worries, all the things that I could worry about, none of those things move me. They don't bother me. Now, granted, you got to know, he was a human. He did not want to experience suffering. He was not a masochist. He did not want to experience pain. But he says, whatever it takes me to finish my race, he said, with joy. To him, getting to the end of what God's will was his greatest joy. And if that road was hard, okay, so be it. Listen. We live in a world where there are lots of things that we could worry about. There always will be. There always will be things in this world, in this life, that we could be worried about. But God has given us everything that we need so that we could worry less. He's given us spiritual leadership. He's given us men and women to be spiritual leaders in our lives in whatever situation of life we're in. He's given us Christian community, and he's given us himself. Surrender yourself to God's will in those three areas of relationship, and you will worry less, no matter how strange the times become. Peter gives us a warning. Oh, look, I'm going to finish on time. Look at that. Even without a clock in the room. Huh? Yeah. Jeremy's back and said, no, you won't. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings, catch that, same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You are not alone. The things you're worried about, you're not the only one. Listen, the devil wants you to be worrying. Did you know that? You know why? Because a worrying Christian is a powerless Christian. If we're worried about what might happen, we're worried about not being able to control this circumstance, this relationship, if we're worrying about it, we are not going where God wills. We are not in his will, and we are powerless before our enemy. Peter tells us to resist him, not in our power. You don't have the power to resist the devil. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. When you find yourself standing up in front of the devil, back up. Let God get in between you and him. Whatever it is you're worrying about, stop trying to handle it. Put God in between you and that thing. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and watch him do powerful things. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's going to come against you. He's going to try to mess you up. He's going to try to get you worrying about something. Just put on your armor against those wiles. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place. Listen, there will always be things we can be worrying about. Always. Always. There's always going to be something to worry about. But if you surrender yourself to the will of God and develop the relationships that God has provided for us to help us so that we can do His will, walk in His will, we, as we do that and our faith grows, we will just, it will just worry less. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about worrying less. You just will worry less. And your life, no matter how strange the world gets around us, will be better. It'll be more powerful. It'll be filled with more joy and peace and the blessings and the love of God. And I think that's something we ought to be striving for. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for this time. I just thank you so much, God, for this place, this opportunity for us to gather together. And Lord, as we prepare our this place and our hearts and everything else for gathering the church again next week, we pray, Lord, that you would be in the midst of that. You'd be in the center of that. That, Lord, we believe it's your will. And so we're not going to worry about all the things we could be worried about. We're just going to walk into your will with the confidence of knowing that you are already in the future that we're headed toward. We praise you and thank you that while we may not be able to control the world around us, that you are in control. And that literally anything that we care about, we can lay at your feet and know that you care for us. And you will take care of us. And so I thank you for these, your people that you brought this morning. I thank you for those that are watching online. And I pray whatever it is that they might be worrying about right now, that something that I said this morning will minister to their hearts. And that while that worry may not go completely away, but as we grow in our faith, and we grow in these areas of relationships, that we would worry less so that we might glorify you more, that we might be more of a blessing to others, and that we might see faith grow all around us. Thank you, Lord, for this time, for this place, for your people, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit who's ministered to me and through me in this time. And we ask, Lord God, for your blessing upon it. Lord, if there's anyone watching this online, pretty sure I know everybody here and their spiritual condition, but somebody might be watching online who does not have a relationship with you. Lord, they have no tools to keep them from worrying. The things that they're worrying about, they're just there, and they have no hope of getting out of it. But Lord, in you, because of Christ and what he did for us on the cross, we have hope that we don't have to live in the misery of fear and worry, depression, and all these other things, loneliness and anger and all the other things that the isolation has brought into our lives. But in Christ, we can be free. And so if you're watching this right now and you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, do that right now. Just invite him to come in. Jesus, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I pray there's someone watching online right now, you'd reach into their hearts, help them to receive you, help them to confess their sin before you, and to be freed from all of it. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We give this day to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.